I am Bill Courtwright with Living Right with Bill Courtwright, and this is the Stress Mastery Podcast, where we take you from the science to the spirituality of stress mastery.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Stress Mastery Podcast. I am your host, Bill Courtwright, and I am here with the super millennial, David Barreto, giving us the millennial perspective. Happy Friday, Dave.
Happy Friday.
It's our Christmas, right?
Yeah, I guess Christmas Eve, right?
Yeah, we got all the Friday. I hope everybody who celebrates Christmas Eve has a good time and have a very, very Merry Christmas. This week's topic was on despair, grief, energy. I don't know how that fits, but it does. On the weekend edition of Stress Mastery Podcast, host Mark Middlestead kicked us off with the rock bottom life. On Monday with the super millennial, David talked on Everyone Has a Choice on Health Huddles. We talked about something on Health Huddles. Oh, the living in the state of coherence, mind-body, body-mind connection on Meeting of the Minds. We talked on processing grief, the coherent state on Connection Thursday. We talked on living from the heart. And today we will continue our book study, The Book of Joy by Archbishop Desmond Tutu and the Dalai Lama. So we are now entering in the book days 4 and 5. It's a new section and it is called The 8 Pillars of Joy. Perspective, there are many different angles. As we said right at the beginning, joy is a byproduct, the Archbishop began. If you set out and say, I want to be happy, clenching your teeth with determination, this is the quickest way of missing the bus. So if joy and happiness are byproducts, what exactly are they byproducts of? It was time to delve deeper into the qualities of mind and heart that we needed to cultivate to catch that bus. We have now covered the nature of true joy and the obstacles to joy. I said as we began our fourth day of dialogues, now we are ready to move on to the positive qualities that allow us to experience more joy. We have discussed the topic of mental immunity in reducing fear and anger and other obstacles to joy, but the Dalai Lama had explained that mental immunity was about filling our mind and heart with positive thoughts and feelings. As our dialogue progressed, we converged on 8 pillars of joy. 4 were qualities of the mind, perspective, humility, humor, and acceptance, and 4 were qualities of the heart, forgiveness, gratitude, compassion, and generosity. On the first day, the Archbishop had touched the fingers of his right hand to his heart to emphasize its centrality. We would end up, ultimately, at compassion and generosity, and indeed both men would insist that these 2 qualities were perhaps the most pivotal to any lasting happiness. Yet, we needed to begin with some fundamental qualities of the mind that would allow us to turn more easily and frequently to the compassionate and generous response to life. As the Dalai Lama had said at the start of our dialogue, we create most of our suffering. So we should be able to create more joy. The key, he had explained, was our perspective and the thoughts, feelings, and actions that come as a result. Scientific research consistently supported so much of the dialogue that was unfolding over the week. The factors that psychologist Sonia Lyubomirsky had found to have the greatest influence on our happiness supported a number of the 8 pillars. The first concern, our perspective toward life, or as Lyubomirsky described it, our ability to reframe our situation more positively, our capacity to experience gratitude, our choice to be kind and generous were the others. A healthy perspective really is the foundation of joy and happiness, because the way we see the world is the way we experience the world. Changing the way we see the world, in turn, changes the way we feel and the way we act, with changes of the world itself. Or as Buddha said in the Dhammapada, with our minds, we create our own world. For every event in life, the Dalai Lama said, there are many different angles. When you look at the same event from a wider perspective, your sense of worry and anxiety reduces, and you have greater joy. The Dalai Lama had discussed the importance of a wider perspective when he was telling us about how he was able to see calamity of losing his country as an opportunity. It was jaw-dropping to hear him reframe more positively the last half a century of exile. He had been able to see not only what he had lost, but also what he had gained. Wider contact and new relationships, less formality, and more freedom to discover the world and learn from others. He had concluded, so therefore, you look from one angle, you feel, oh, how bad, how sad. But if you look from another angle, at the same tragedy, the same event, you see what gives me new opportunity. Edith Eva Eger tells a story of visiting two soldiers on the same day at William Beaumont Army Medical Center at Fort Bliss. Both were paraplegics who had lost their legs in combat. They had the same diagnosis and the same prognosis. The first veteran, Tom, was lying on the bed, knotted in fetal position, railing against life and decrying his fate. The second, Chuck, was out of bed in his wheelchair, explaining that he felt as if he had been given a second chance in life. And as he wheeled through the garden, he had realized that he was closer to the flowers and could look right into the children's eyes. Eger often quotes fellow Auschwitz survivor Viktor Frankl, who said that our perspective toward life is our final ultimate freedom. She explains that our perspective literally has the power to keep us alive or cause our death. One of her fellow inmates at Auschwitz was terribly ill and weak, and the others in her bunk asked her how she was holding on to life. The prisoner said that she had heard that they were going to be liberated by Christmas. The woman lived against all odds, but she died on Christmas Day when they were not liberated. It's no wonder that during the week, the Dalai Lama had called some thoughts and feelings toxic, even poisonous. Hinpa explained that while changing our emotions is quite hard, changing our perspective is actually relatively easy. It is part of our mind over which we have influence. The way you see the world, the meaning you give to what you witness, changes the way you feel. It could be the first step of a spiritual and neural journey that results in more and more equanimity and of our default state being increasingly more joyful, as psychologist and writer Daniel Goleman poetically put in his pre-trip call. The Dalai Lama used the terms wider perspective, larger perspective. They involve stepping back within our own mind to look at the bigger picture and to move beyond our limited self-awareness and our limited self-interest. Every situation we confront in life comes with a convergence of many contributing factors, the Dalai Lama had explained. We must look at any given situation or problem from the front, from the back, and from the sides, and from the top, and the bottom. So from at least six different angles, this allows us to take out more complete holistic view of reality. If we do, our response will be more constructive. We suffer from perspectival myopia. As a result, we are left nearsighted, unable to see our experience in a larger way. When we confront a challenge, we often react to the situation with fear and anger. The stress can make it hard for us to step back and see other perspectives and other solutions. But if we try, we can become less fixated or attached, to use Buddhist terms, to one outcome and can be more skillful and means to handle the situation. How can trauma lead to growth and transformation? How can a negative event actually become positive? We were being invited to see the blessing in the curse, the joy in the sorrow. Hintpa offered a silver lining thought experiment to take us out of our limited perspective and take something bad that happened in the past and then consider all the good that came of it. With a wider perspective, we can see our situation and all those involved in a larger context. From more a neural position. By seeing the many conditions and circumstances that have led to this event, we can recognize that our limited perspective is not the truth. As the Dalai Lama said, we can even see our own role in any conflict or misunderstanding. By stepping back, we can also see the long view, have a clear understanding of our actions and our problems in a larger frame of our life. This allows us to see that even though our situation may seem challenging now, from the vantage point of a month or a year or a decade, these challenges will seem much more manageable. This wider perspective also leads us beyond our own self-regard. Self-centeredness is the most of our default perspective. It comes quite understandably from the fact that we are the center of our world. But as the Dalai Lama and the Archbishop demonstrated so powerfully, we also have the ability to take on the perspective of others. Frustration. What does frustration help? I mean, you feel frustration in the pit of your tummy and the anger. I mean, you just get more angry. And after a while, you're going to develop ulcers in the stomach from the fact that you just get annoyed in sitting in a traffic jam. Taking a God's eye perspective, as Archbishop might say, allows us to transcend our limited identity and our limited self-interest. Fundamentally, the Dalai Lama and the Archbishop were trying to shift our perspective from focusing on I and me and mine to we and us and ours. Earlier in the week, the Dalai Lama had referenced a classic study that suggested the constant use of personal pronouns leads to a greater risk of a heart attack. It is a multi-center prospective study of coronary heart disease. Health researcher Larry Schwartzitz found that people who more frequently said I, me, or mine had a higher risk of having a heart attack and had a higher risk of their heart attack being fatal. Schwartz found that this so-called self-involvement was a better predictor of death than smoking, high cholesterol levels, or high blood pressure. A more recent study conducted by researcher Johannes Zimmermann found that people who more often use the first-person singular word I and me are more likely to be depressed than people who use the more often use first-person plural we and us. When we have a wider perspective, we are also less likely to spend our time lost in self-referential thoughts, ruminating. Hintpa offered another thought experiment designed to take us out of our self-absorption, one that the Dalai Lama described using when he was in a hospital being treated for prostate cancer, and that the Dalai Lama used when he was doubled over in pain from the gallbladder infection. Think about where you are suffering in your life, and then think about all the other people who are going through the similar situation. This perhaps is quite literally the birth of compassion, which means suffering with. The incredible thing the Dalai Lama and the Archbishop pointed out was that this suffering with often reminds us that we are not alone and actually lessens our own pain. As the Dalai Lama and Archbishop explain, the wider perspective leads to serenity and equanimity. It does not mean we don't have the strength to confront a problem, but we can confront it with creativity, compassion rather than rigidity and reactivity. When we take the perspective of others, we can have empathy with them. One starts to see the interdependence that envelops to us all, which reveals that how we treat others is ultimately how we treat ourselves. We also are able to recognize that we do not control all aspects of any situation. This leads to a greater sense of humility and humor and acceptance. Woo, super millennial, it's all yours, buddy. Take it.
That's a lot to unpack, but I think that one is, I don't think there could be, you know, a better chapter to get close to kind of ending this year because of the year and stuff that we went through not too long ago. You know, the perspective aspect, I think that's awesome to see because everybody dealt with this pandemic very differently, you know, and it was cool to kind of see because me and you talked about it, like, you know, we got to stay inside. You had to work from, you know, the gym at home, things like that, that were inconveniences. But then I got to talk to my sister, who's a nurse in one of the busiest hospitals in Orlando, and watch the chaos that she talks about. My perspective is it's an inconvenience. I have to stay home. I can't get my hair cut. Can't do things like that. And I say it's not a big deal. But then I hear the stories that she tells and her perspective. It's a whole different thing. And it's the same thing like we talked about losing loved ones and stuff like that. Thankfully, we didn't have to deal with that. So I don't have that perspective. But I have empathy because of hearing all the different perspectives. Not seeing things from one-sided and understand that it could always be worse and have empathy for those people and have empathy for your current situation. I think that's a big thing that I think all of us can relate to right now.
I think that Dalai Lama put it really well. That's the pause we talked about this week. Pause and look. And I think that's a great tool, by the way. Mm-hmm. And in here he says, and I think this is powerful, a healthy perspective really is the foundation of joy and happiness because the way we see the world is the way we experience the world. Changing the way we see the world in turn changes the way we feel, the way we act, which changes the world itself. So this is when I talk about we only can experience what we hold in mind. So if you're holding in mind worry, you can only experience worry. If you're holding in mind grief, you can only experience grief. If you're holding in mind joy, you can only experience joy. When he's talking here on perception, right? Your programming and everything that we do in stress mastery is to move us out of that identity of perception that you are stuck in a problem or a conflict, and to realize that you can have conflict resolution. But the fact is, if you have resentment and that's what you're holding in mind, you're going to experience resentment. Do you agree with all that?
Yeah, the perceptual blindness aspect of it is incredible. I think you could see that in a lot of family members and things like that. Just watch around, you know, everybody that comes to your house. Everyone's going to have a different point of view on a lot of different things, right? And how can their point of view be true or how can yours be true? It's whatever you're holding. And it's one of those things that once you have the awareness and you start looking at it, you could see from where these people are looking at the world, you know, what they are holding. And it's wild to think that everybody views the world differently.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody has their own programming. Every human being on the planet has gone through the stages of development. Every human being carries a belief system. Mm-hmm. And if you're not in personal development, personal growth, self-help, working on yourself, if you're not in expansion and growth, you're living through the perception that was set for you by the time you were 16 years old. Mm-hmm. And people don't realize that. And so when the Dalai Lama is talking about the wider perspective, he's talking about slow down and really see what is activated. That's why we name the ego. And he says, self-centeredness is most of our default perspective. Yes, we cannot stop self-centeredness as an activation. In other words, you can't stop conflict. Anything that comes into your environment that goes against this perception that you carry, this program you carry, is going to activate a program. That program is going to set your perception. That perception is set in setting your expectations, and it's how you see the world. And it's a default because that's the way the hierarchy of the brain works. So we always go into event, judgment, reaction first. But the moment you see that, the moment you pause, the moment you take a wider perspective, as the Dalai Lama says, you switch that default off just as fast as it turned on. You could create the skills, the habits of conflict resolution and turn it off just as fast. You have to learn to slow down because the human being functions and operates the way the human being functions and operates. And that function and operation's been in effect for 200,000 years. You're not stopping it, but you sure can master it. That's really what I got out of this chapter. Anything you want to close with on this, David?
Yeah, I think it piggybacked well with last chapter. Being open-minded and being able to see things from other people's perspective, even if that isn't your own belief system, I think that will broaden your perspective and your appreciation, like we were talking about with gratitude, being able to see, you know, that things are sometimes brighter on your side and vice versa. When you think things are dark on your side, there's always the lighter side. And when we were going to Tennessee, I just came back from that trip and we were stuck in traffic on the way back. So we're tired, all that. And it's like 1 a.m. And I remember my friend said, oh, traffic at this time. And instantly my first thought is I'd rather be in traffic than be the cause of traffic. And when we finally got up there, we saw two cars flipped over and he goes, wow. And that's the perspective. There's two different ones. The person who got in that accident would love to sit in traffic all day long than be in that situation. So there's going to be a bright side and dark side, but it's only if you're looking at it as bright and dark versus just it is what it is and accepting and being grateful for what you have.
David, great job. You really, really, you carried the show today. Believe me. I don't know. My brain's working right now, but you carried the show. So next week, our topic is mastering fear. And the reason I picked this topic is it is the last week before the new year. And I'm going to get into quite a few things on some of the challenges of our transition into the new year. And so we'll talk about that next week.
This Saturday.
Yes, guys, I was going to say.
We got Coach Felix doing a special episode for our Christmas episode. So make sure to stay tuned. It's his first solo episode.
And people have been asking about Mark Mittelstead, and he's fine, everybody. He's just working on a project to close out the year. So he's okay because they're looking for him in the community and everything else. Mark, you can't disappear. They miss you. That's it for today's show. Our mission here is to create a shift in the planet. You can join us on this mission by simply like, share, and subscribe. Links are right below the show. As always, until next time, stay inspired.